Now, these are only the crazy things I'm not embarrassed about. The crazy things I should not have done, I am not going to mention. I'm only telling you 10 crazy things I did that positively influenced my life and helped, I believe, make me who I am. And I only give credit to God for this. I take no credit for having done these crazy things myself because I had no virtue at the time. I was simply being directed by God, unbeknownst to myself, in these ways. Okay, so here you go. Number one, climb a very high mountain. This is really good for you because once you climb a very high mountain, you know you can do it. And a mountain is symbolic, it's allegorical. If you climb a very high mountain physically, then you know that you can climb a very high mountain in any area of life. And I climbed a very high mountain right here in Colorado, Gibbs Peak, in the Sangre de Cristo Range. And I was a different human being after I climbed that very high mountain. I knew I could do things that I didn't think I could do. Number two. Now, I don't know if you could do this, but I did it, and it was tremendous. Sail a long way from the shore in a very small boat. This gives you a sense of your tininess. When you are out on a vast ocean and there is very little around you except little tiny boats that are very, very far away and big waves that could sink your boat, you realize then that it's nature in its grandest and you are very small. And it is extremely important to remember that you are very small. Because when you remember that you are very small, then you remember that you are dependent only on God. And although I was not religious per se as a child, I do remember being in a very small boat, very far from land, with very big waves, saying, God, if you get me home, I will be good. I wasn't necessarily good always, but I do remember that it made me feel helpless. And that's also a good thing. Number three, start a business. I started my first business when I was 16. I loved to play war games. We had little Napoleonic miniatures. This is before computers. I know you can't imagine that. But we had to play games actually with little things on the table. And I learned that you could buy at one price and sell at another price. And so I filled up my car. As soon as I could drive, I had a trunk full of war game stuff. And I ran around and I sold it to people. And I realized that you can make money yourself. You can be an action element in your own life. You don't have to go to work and do what someone else tells you to get money. And that was a very good thing to learn. And I recommend every one of you start a business. Even if you don't make a lot of money. And some of you might start a business and accidentally make a lot of money, and then hopefully you'll survive the curse of that. But start a business. Entrepreneurial thinking is evangelical thinking. Because you have to be willing to get out of the box, take risks, be organized, have a position, an argument, teach. All life skills are contained when you start a business. Now, I did this, and I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying this is what I did, and this was the first crazy thing that really irritated my father. I dropped out of college. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you should do it. But in my case, the only thing I was learning was stupid things from professors with an agenda and how to do immoral things with other people my same age. Okay? That was all I was learning in college. And I thank the Lord that I had a modicum of wisdom to say no to that and just get out. Because had I stayed there, I wouldn't have been able to escape where I was. And so take that as a metaphor. Not you should not go to college or you should drop out of college. I don't care whether you do or don't. What I'm saying is if you find yourself in a bad situation and you can't beat the world, the flesh, and the devil where you are, leave. That's what I had to do. Just quit. Here's a weird one. Ride a bus from San Francisco to New York. This will teach you two things. You never want to do that again. And how to navigate weird places and bus stations with not so friendly looking people. And you can survive. It was an adventure. We don't get to be Bilbo and go, right, to Mount Doom. We don't get to do that stuff. Wait, Bilbo didn't go to Mount Doom. Frodo went to Mount Doom. Bilbo went to Mount...
Erebor,
yeah. But we have to find our adventures. And for me, at the age of 19, to take a bus trip all by myself across the entire continent, I learned a lot of stuff doing that. And I learned that I could go anywhere and figure out what to do. That was important. So travel. Here's a really great one. I did this. Give all your money away. At some point in the life, before you have a wife and kids, because they don't appreciate this. But some point before you have a family to be accountable and responsible for, give everything you have away and start back at zero. Why? Because it makes you dependent, and it's actually a really good feeling. And you know what Jesus said? Basically, the rich young ruler, he said, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments as they've been. I've done all that. What else? And Jesus said, sell everything you have, distribute it to the poor, and follow me. There's a recklessness. There's an abandonment. There's an okay. I give it all up. I will give up all my security, even if it's just the $442 you saved in your bank account. I give it all up to something better than myself and start over. It was a very good thing I did. It was good for me. All right, here's another one. Work 16 hours a day for no pay. That's kind of the equivalent of giving up all your money. Only it's really hard to buy toothpaste if you do both those things at the same time. So you might keep a few $100 in the bank before you go off to work 16 hours a day. But I literally, for 2 or 3 years, there's almost 3 years, worked 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I made $50 a month. That was my stipend. Room and board and $50 a month. And you know what you learn from doing that? Work is about work. It's not about money. That's the most important thing you can know. You work to make a difference in the world. You work to learn stuff. You work because you love, not to get money. Money is the side effect of working. You learn that when you're self-employed, right, Chris? It's the hoped-for side effect of self-employment. But I did that for a couple of years. I worked for no money as hard as I could possibly work. It was so good for me. Okay, here's one, and I don't recommend this if you have a health condition. Fast on water for 3 days. I did that. Eat nothing. Drink nothing but water for 3 days. Now, like I said, don't do this if you have a health condition. But I'll tell you what it did for me. Having done that, I can always survive being hungry. I did it pretty young when I was still growing. I was probably 20. I was 20. Right? And you know what? Once you do that, you're never going to really, really be as hungry as that ever again. So you get over it. You can go without food for as long as you need to, which is kind of part of that girding up your loins and being ready for battle. So you might try it. Okay, here's one I highly recommend. I so strongly recommend this. I wish everybody could do it. I know everybody can't. But this is possibly one of the best things you can do for yourself. Live in a foreign country. We are so Amerocentric. We, from the moment we're born, are programmed. America is the center of the universe. And we Americans are the rulers and the best people in the world. And everything is all about us. And the whole world should bow to America. Why? Because we have freedom. The whole thing is so twisted and warped. If you don't actually go live in a foreign country, you will never know your own country. Go live in a foreign country and learn its language to the degree you can for when you're there. Learn its customs. And here's one thing you must do. Eat weird things. I lived in Japan. I ate a lot of weird things, some of which I had no idea what they were. A lot of them were raw seafood creatures. I also ate bees, baby bees in honey. I also ate quail meat, but I did turn down the raw horse meat. I just said, no, that's it. I'm good up to this point. But eat weird things. You know why? Because if you eat weird things, you'll stop being so picky. You eat weird stuff, you can go eat anything if you have to. And that's part of it. Being able to do anything you have to do is part of preparation for your mission, because you don't know where you'll be. My father-in-law was a big philanthropist. He was huge into giving money to Christian organizations and outreach and Mission Aviation Fellowship. And he was on the board of these directors. He was at one time fairly wealthy, and he's ended up giving away almost all his money. But he went to China as part of a delegation for this mission organization. And he had, and this was a high level thing. I mean, this was elite society. And they served him a plate of what appeared to be some form of spaghetti. Noodles. But it was actually a delicacy. White worms. If he didn't eat it, he would lose face to such a degree it would harm the mission. So he ate it. The good news is this. If you're in Japan or China, always leave a little bit left on your plate. If you eat everything on your plate, then your host thinks you didn't get enough. Whereas if you leave a little bit on your plate, then they think, oh, you are satisfied. Right? So if you get that plate of worms, you can leave a little bit. But you got to be able to do it. Or just don't go to China. All right, here's the last crazy thing I did. And then we're done with this list, and then we'll wrap it up here. Write love poems. Now, if you're a girl, this is not so hard. But if you're a guy, this is going to take some effort. Write love poems. Now, that's a metaphor. I did write love poems, and then I had the great displeasure of finding some of these love poems I wrote many decades after I had written them, and it was quite embarrassing to myself to think that I had actually written that at one point in my life. But what I am saying is really not necessarily write love poems. Make yourself vulnerable. Be willing to be honest and transparent and give up your pride. Because that's what you have to do when you write a love poem. Otherwise, it's a really lousy poem. But if it's transparent and honest and humble, even if it's lousy, it's beautiful. And that is what vulnerability is all about. Humbleness and openness. So make yourself vulnerable. I would say this. I did not know, nor would have I necessarily believed, that God, the Father of Jesus Christ, had a plan for my life. For most of my young years, till I was about 35, I was deeply involved in New Age teaching and Eastern religion and all sorts of real weird, goofy stuff. So while I believed in God, I had a very, very warped conception of who He was. And then for a time, I kind of rejected God entirely when I discovered the New Age stuff was not real. Because I had accepted it for real, and then I realized it wasn't real, and so everything that had been real was no longer real, and so I had nothing. I had no reality. So I actually kind of rejected God. But through a series of being brought very low, I was able to get on my knees, literally, and say, okay, God, I give up. I give up. I cannot run my life. I cannot be a success. Either kill me now or make something out of me. I give it to you. I will pray and I will read the Bible and I will give it my best shot to be a Christian. If you will give it your best shot to making me successful. It was that how low I was. And a few years after, a lot of healing occurred, spiritual healing. And one day I realized that I had reached a point where I had a mission. And there was success. And I looked back at all the weird things I had done in my life, the crazy things that drove my father. Because my father thought, you should go to school and get a degree so you can get a job and have security. And the fact that I rejected that whole thing, more out of rebellion rather than purpose, or more out of just spontaneous knowing somehow that I shouldn't do it. I did other stuff. And all that crazy stuff then came together and I could see it. I could see it. I got a glimpse by grace of the front of the tapestry. I know it's a cliched metaphor, right? The tapestry where you can't see anything but the backside and your life is a mess because it's just a bunch of frayed strings. And then God sees the other side. He sees your soul, who you've become, the beauty of your life. And I got a glimpse of the other side of the tapestry. And I said, wow, wow, all that happened to me, that was part of God's plan. That was part of God's plan. And I never even knew it. And that was pretty exciting, I have to tell you. So that's about where I am right now. I hope that has been somewhat useful or at least entertaining. I was going to finish up. Can I read one more thing? Because I said I would. Did any of you follow Matt Walsh, the Matt Walsh blog? December 20th, he wrote this article, Why I'm Leaving Radio Forever. And he talks a little bit about how he got his start in radio. And he says, you know, I stayed in a tiny roach and mice infested apartment, struggled to keep the lights on, and worked hard to earn my $16,000 a year salary, and I loved it. I didn't love the roaches, I didn't love the poverty level wages, but I loved going to bed every night dreaming of things to come. I didn't have very many friends out there, nor much of anything that might have resembled a social life. I spent my free time reading books about history, theology, and politics, and writing long essays that nobody would ever see. I wanted to have something worthwhile to say to people, and I wanted to say it to a huge audience. I wanted to develop my message and get it out to millions of people. I wanted to climb to the top of the radio mountain and then use it as a platform to reach into other forms of media. See, I would have said, I want to be on Oprah. Just get me on Oprah. That's what I want. But he was working in radio. And then he says, fast forward 8 years to the present day. Something strange happened. My goals, all that stuff about having a huge audience and getting my message out to millions, it happened. Just not in the way I expected. It came out of left field and had to smack me in the face repeatedly before I even noticed it. This website. Between 3 and 5 million people read it every month. This month I might hit close to 7 or 8 million. There's no frills to this, no gimmicks. My site isn't even professionally designed. I just write how I feel about things and people read it. This is the avenue for my message and platform for future opportunities that radio never was and maybe never could be. I was thinking about this when Tom said, you're living in a time where everything's different, right? You're living in a time where your capacity to reach an audience is vaster than ever before. And so Matt Walsh figured this out. So, after the holidays, I'll investing myself full-time in the website. I'm giving up radio forever. Now, here's what I want you to listen to. That's all you get, after all, moments. You can't take advantage of them, or you don't. On that note, I'd like to pass along just a point that has been firmly at the forefront of my mind recently. I submit this suggestion humbly, recognizing that I am at the beginning of my journey. He's one of the young people. Not a patriarch, obviously. And you might be much older and wiser, possessing advantage of vaster life experience. That's why this bit of advice isn't targeted at the older and wiser crowd. I'd like to address this to people my age or younger, people at the beginning of things, just like me. If you guys ignore everything else I say about everything else, at least hear me on this. Take risks. Big risks. Smart risks. I'm not talking about drunk driving or running naked in the snow. I'm talking about going out on a limb to achieve your goals. I'm talking about venturing into unknown territory with no safety net, no fallback plan, no cushion, nobody holding your hand. You'll never do anything important if you care more about having fun and being comfortable. Period. It won't happen. There's time for fun and comfort, but not now. Not when we're young and have so much to do. And I don't say this because I'm some huge success story. I say it because I'm not. Not yet anyway. I say it because I'm in the thick of it too. I say it because my heart breaks every time I meet a person younger than me who has no ambition. So I often speak to someone like this They tell me what they want to do in life, and I tell them, well, go do it then. And they come back with, yeah, but. Stop it. No buts. Nobody cares about your excuses. Move across the country if you have to. Live out of your car if it's necessary. Work 6 jobs if that's what it takes. Eat 1 meal a day if it comes to that. Do what needs to be done. Stop following the path that other people want to lay for you. Blaze your own trail. Make a sacrifice. Struggle, sweat, fail, suffer. Do it now. Now's the time. Especially if you aren't even married and you don't have kids. Why in the world are you sitting around? What are you waiting for? There's absolutely nothing stopping you from chasing big things. Nothing. And then he says goodbye. Matt Walsh. Read his blog. It's very good. I couldn't have said it better than that. I didn't take as big of risks, but I did some crazy things. And in the end, I saw that the Lord and the hidden hand was behind the tapestry. And I know that you will stand on our shoulders, all us 12 years short of being a billionaire of old people.